آمين. السلام عليكم. طيب, we were talking yesterday about the sins of the hands, weren't we? Weren't we? Yes, okay, good. We were, okay. Inshallah, we'll continue talking about the sins of the hands. أمس كنا نتكلم عن معاصي اليدين, نكمل اليوم الكلام في هذا الباب إن شاء الله تعالى. الحمد لله رب العالمين, وأصلي وأسلم على النبي محمد الأمين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا, وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. قال المؤلف رحمه الله: ومنع الزكاة أو بعضها بعد الوجوب والتمكن, وإخراج ما لا يجزي, أو إعطاؤها من لا يستحقها. The author said to refrain from paying one's zakah or part of one's zakah after it is due when one is able to pay it, or to pay an invalid zakah, or to give zakah to those who do not deserve it. شرح ذلك أن من وجب عليه أداء الزكاة عليه أن يؤديها على الوجه الذي أمر الله به, على الوجه الذي يكون فيه أداء هذه الزكاة مجزئة. The one who is obligated to pay zakah has to pay it in a valid way, as Allah Ta'ala ordered to pay it. فإن امتنع من إخراجها بعد أن وجبت عليه وكان قادرا على دفعها, ماله كان عنده, يعني ما كان غائبا, المستحق موجود ليس مفقودا, فإذا وجبت عليه وهو متمكن من دفعها ثم لم يدفع أثم. If a zakah is due on someone and this person is able to pay a zakah, for example, his money, he can reach his money, or the people who deserve a zakah are there, he can find them, and despite that, after it is due on him and after he is able to pay it, he does not pay it, he commits a sin in this case. بل الامتناع عن دفع الزكاة من الكبائر. Moreover, abstaining from paying a zakah is an enormous sin. ولا يجوز أن يؤخرها عن وقتها, and it is not permissible to delay paying it after its due. مثلا إذا كانت الزكاة تجب عليه في شعبان ليس له أن يؤخر إخراجها إلى رمضان. For example, if a zakah is due on him during the month of Sha'ban, at the beginning of Sha'ban, then this is when he has to pay it. It is not permissible for him to delay it up till Ramadan, for example. وليس رمضان موسما لدفع الزكاة كما يظن بعض الناس. Ramadan is not the time to pay a zakah as some people think. إنما وقت دفع الزكاة هو وقت وجوبها. الوقت الذي يجب فيه أن يدفعها. The time of paying a zakah is the time شو المحدد في الشرع المحدد في الشرع the time prescribed in the religion to pay a zakah, in which a zakah has to be paid. ولو دفع الشخص بعض ما يجب عليه من الزكاة ولم يدفع البعض الآخر فهو آثم أيضا. If some pays, if one pays some of the due zakah, a part of the due zakah, and he does not pay the rest of it, he is still sinful. Of course, when he is able. واحد وجب عليه 20 دينارا زكاة دفع 10 وامتنع عن دفع 10 الباقية عليه إثم. If let's say 20 dinars of gold are due on someone as zakah, he pays 10 and he abstains from paying the other 10, he is sinful for that. كذلك لا يجوز إخراج ما لا يجزئ زكاة ولو كانت قيمته أعلى من قيمة الزكاة القدر الواجب زكاة أعلى من قيمة ما يجزئ. مثلا واحد وجب عليه أن يخرج شاة فأخرج بقرة لو كانت قيمة البقرة أعلى عليه إثم. واحد يجب عليه أن يخرج شاة زكاة فأخرج ذهبا قيمته كقيمة الشاة أو أكثر لا هذا لا يجزئ وعليه إثم في ذلك عبادة فاسدة. واحد وهكذا. If someone has to pay a zakah, it is not valid to pay something other than what is prescribed in the rules of the religion as the due zakah. So if he pays something other than that, even if this other thing has a higher value, this would be sinful and it is not valid. The zakah is still due on him. An example of that, someone has to pay as zakah a certain amount of silver. This is what is due on him. Instead of that, he pays a certain amount of gold. This is invalid. Even if the price of the value of the gold is equal to the value of the due silver, or even more, or much more, still this is invalid. He has to pay az-zakah the way Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made it obligatory to pay it. If a sheep is due on him, it is not permissible for him to pay a cow or a camel, even if the value of the cow is higher than the value of the sheep. If wheat is due on him as zakah, it is not permissible for him to pay money as zakah, and so on. Currency, to pay currency instead of wheat, that is, it's not permissible. وَكَمَا يَحْرُمُ وَكَمَا أَنَّهُ لَا يُجْزِئُ أو وَكَمَا يَحْرُمُ تَأْخِيرُ الزَّكَاةِ عَنْ وَقْتِهَا يَحْرُمُ أَنْ يُعْطِيَهَا الشَّخْصُ لِمَنْ لَا يَسْتَحِقُّهَا وَلَوْ فَعَلْ لَا يُجْزِئُهُ ذَلِكَ عَنِ الزَّكَاةِ بَلْ تَبْقَى الزَّكَاةُ فِي ذِمَّتِهِ. As it is prohibited not to pay a zakah, it is prohibited to give it to those who do not deserve it. If one does that, that is, if one gives a zakah to those who do not deserve it, this would be invalid. It is haram and it is invalid. The zakah is still due on him. مثل هؤلاء الذين يدفعون الزكاة لبناء مسجد مثلا أو لبناء مدرسة أو لبناء سور المقبرة أو لشراء أرض مقبرة أو نحو ذلك. Like those who pay a zakah to build a mosque, or to build a school, or to make a fence surrounding a graveyard, or to buy a piece of land to bury Muslims in it. This is an invalid act of worship. Invalid act of worship. So it is haram. نحن يجب علينا أن نطيع الله تبارك وتعالى فيما أمر. ما أمرنا الله أن نفعله نفعله. ليس أننا من عند أنفسنا نضع أحكاما وقواعد لنمشي عليها ثم نكون بذلك مقبولين مرضيين. لا. We have to obey what Allah ordered us to do. We have to obey the orders of Allah. Not that out of ourselves we put rules regardless of the orders of Allah and we follow them. Like that we wouldn't be accepted by Allah Ta'ala. من أراد أن يحسن إلى الناس أن يساعد الناس بماله فليفعل لكن ليس كل مساعدة تكون زكاة. The one who wants to help people with his money, let him do it. But not every act of payment, of charity and the like is considered زكاة. الزكاة لها قواعدها. There are rules to pay الزكاة that need to be followed. مرة في الماضي جاء رجل يقال له يوسف القرضاوي إلى هذه البلاد. فإحدى الجمعيات هنا في أمريكا استدعته ودفعوا له نفقات المجيء والإقامة ونحو ذلك. هو بالمقابل عمل فتوى، كتب فتوى أنه يجوز دفع الزكاة لهذه الجمعية للقيام بنشاطاتها. أيش نشاطات هذه الجمعية؟ طباعة رزنامة يبيعونها، استئجار قاعة لمحاضرة ونحو ذلك. قال زعم، قال لأن هذا داخل تحت قول الله تعالى وفي سبيل الله، وكذب، لأن حديث النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام وإجماع الأئمة يدل على أن معنى وفي سبيل الله المعنى الأصلي للكلمة الذي هو الجهاد لا ما زعمه. أصل إطلاق هذا اللفظ في الشرع يراد به الجهاد، ولا يجوز حمله على غير ذلك إلا بدليل. وحديث الرسول ولا دليل هنا لحمله على غير ذلك ولا قرينة. وحديث الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام أيضا يدل على أن المراد به الجهاد، وأقوال الصحابة والتابعون وتبع التابعين وتبع الأتباع وهكذا كلهم أجمعوا على أن المراد بقوله وفي سبيل الله المتطوعون الذين يكونون مع الجيش في القتال من غير أجرة، هؤلاء يعطون من مال الزكاة مساعدة لهم. هذا هو، هذا معنى وفي سبيل الله في هذه الآية. ليس كل عمل خيري كما زعم هذا المحرف للدين. Years ago, maybe 20 years or 15 years ago, a man called Yusuf Al-Qaradawi, maybe some of you heard of him, came to this country. This man is from the party of Hizb al-Ikhwan. So, and he claims to be a scholar. Not just a scholar. He said, I heard him. He equated himself to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in a very ugly way. He said the Prophet sometimes gave fatwa and made mistakes. This is what he said. And I sometimes made mistakes. Yeah, but this is how he said it. It's not that someone told me about that. I was told about it, and then so I wanted to watch it on the TV, and I heard him saying that, this statement. At the time, he was one of the people who encouraged those terrorists to do what they did. In Algeria and other than that, he defended them, he encouraged them. And later, when he found himself in a tight situation, he flipped in certain issues, like he moved 180 degrees to pervert even the rules of the religion to please whomever he wanted to please. So this man, or to hide his true identity, this man, when he came here to the States, an organization invited him. Maya, it's called Maya. Maybe you heard about it, about this organization. What Maya? It's M-A.
Muslim American Youth Association.
They call themselves Muslim American Youth Association, M-A-Y-A. So anyway, they paid his all the expenses, etc. He came here. In return to what they did, he gave them fatwa. He wrote it with his handwriting, and I saw the photocopy of that. And he said that it is permissible to pay a zakat to this association for what they do, their activities. And they mentioned what their activities are. It's not distributing the money to the poor people at all. Their activities is to rent a hall, make a calendar and sell it, print some things, some booklets and sell them, make a conference and ask money for people to attend the conference. Those are the activities as they described them. So anyway, he said it is permissible to pay a zakah for that. And he perverted, he misinterpreted the verse in Al-Quran, the saying of Allah, وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. He said, وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ encompasses every good act. So that's why it is permissible to pay a zakah for them. This is wrong. Originally, the term وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, its original meaning, when it is mentioned in the religious texts, means al-jihad, the fighting for the sake of Allah. This is what it means. And you cannot give it another meaning except if there is a sign, a proof that in this context it has a different meaning. Without a proof, without a sign, you cannot give it another meaning. He did not care about that. On top of that, the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام explicitly made it clear that what is meant by this saying of Allah was those who fight for the sake of Allah. What does that mean? It means the people who would be with the army and they are not paid. Those people are given from az-zakah to help them in that situation. This is the correct interpretation, the true interpretation of the verse. As it is clarified in the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, and by the companions, the followers of the followers, by consensus among the mujtahids, all of them. This is what they said. Then, if Yusuf al-Qaradawi equates himself to the Prophet, so do you think he would care about having an opinion different than the companions and the followers of the companions, and he wouldn't care about that. So he said what he said. He said it is permissible to pay a zakah for any good act, including what this association is doing. بعض الناس قالوا مثله. Some other people and organizations, they said the same thing. لأنهم يريدون اصطياد أموال الناس, because they want to get the money from the pockets of the people. They do not care, are they getting the money in a lawful way or unlawful way. They do not care about that. So be aware of those people. Be aware. I was told that on the website of the CARE Association, CACAIRE,
Council of American.
Yeah, they put the same fatwa there. They said that it is permissible to pay a zakat for what they do. Like, what they do is hiring lawyers and things like that. Some people, all what they care about is to reach, to get to the money, to the pockets of the people, regardless of the way that they follow to do that. So, be warned against that. Religiously, their statement is invalid. قال المؤلف ومنع الأجير أجرته. The author said to refuse to give an employee his pay. من معاصي اليد عدم إعطاء الأجير أجرته. It is a sin not to give the employee his pay. إذا اتفقت مع إنسان على عمل معين مقابل أجرة معينة لا يجوز لك أن تمتنع من إعطائه الأجرة. If you agree with someone to do something for you in return of a certain payment, of a certain salary, it is not permissible to abstain from giving this person the amount that you agreed upon it with him. صح في الحديث القدسي أن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال الله تعالى ثلاثة أنا خصمهم يوم القيامة ومن كنت خصمه خصمته رجل أعطى بي العهد ثم غدر ورجل باع حرا فأكل ثمنه ورجل استأجر أجيرا فاستوفى منه ولم يعطه أجرته ورجل استأجر أجيرا فاستوفى منه. الأجير عمل العمل ومع ذلك هو لم يعطه الأجر, امتنع من إعطائه أجرته. يعني هذا يوم القيامة يستحق عذاب الله عز وجل, في الآخرة يستحق عذاب الله. In a Qudsi hadith, Qudsi hadith means a hadith in which the Prophet says, Allah says. So in a Qudsi hadith, it is mentioned that there are three people that are going to face a hard situation on the day of judgment. And the Prophet, or in the hadith, one of the three is the one who agrees with an employee for a certain job. The employee does the job and the employer does not give him his salary. Which means the one who does that deserves the torture in the hereafter for this doing. No more.
قال المؤلف: ومنع المضطر ما يسده.
It is hard. Some people, they face difficulties to take out the money, to take the money out of their pockets. So sometimes they try to, even يعني, if they hire someone, they try to delay giving, by any way, to delay giving him his salary, what he deserves. This is not a good thing, subhanallah. This is not a good thing.
قال المؤلف: ومنع المضطر ما يسده وعدم إنقاذ غريق من غير عذر فيهما.
The author said to refuse to give the starving what fulfills one's hunger, and to refrain from saving a drowning person without an excuse in both cases.
إذا كان إنسان في حال الضرورة, إنسان ما عنده ما يسد جوعه, أو إنسان ما عنده ما يدفع عنه من الكسوة ضرر الحر أو ضرر البرد, لا يجوز أن يترك هذا الإنسان كما هو من غير إعانة مع القدرة على إعانته. فإن ترك من غير إعانة مع القدرة على إعانته فقد وقع تاركه في الذنب. كما صح في الحديث: ما آمن بي من بات شبعان وجاره جائع إلى جنبه وهو يعلم به. ما آمن بي أي إيمانا كاملا, إيمانه ليس كاملا. إذا كان هو بات شبعان وجاره جائع إلى جنبه وهو يعلم بحاله ولم يعنه, قادر أن يعينه ولم يعنه, واقع في الإثم هذا. If someone is in a critical situation, in need, he does not have what fulfills his hunger, or he does not have clothes enough to protect him from the cold or the heat. He does not have enough clothes to prevent him from being harmed by the heat or by the cold. In this case, it is not permissible for those who know about his situation to neglect helping such person. Let's say 10 people know about the situation of this person, and these 10 people are able to help him, and all of them, they abstain from doing that, then all of them are sinful for this. If some among them, one or more, took care of him, then the others are not sinful. But if all of them abstain from helping him, although they can do that, they are able to do it, then all of them are sinful. As it is mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, ما آمن بي من بات شبعان وجاره جائع إلى جنبه وهو يعلم به, which means if one If one spends the night at his place with a full stomach, while his neighbor is hungry, and he knows about him, and he does not help him, then this person would not have a complete belief in the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam, which means he would be a sinner for neglecting that. Helping the needy person in this case is not something that you have the choice either to do it or not to do it. Your brother or your sister who is in such situation has a right on you to get help from you. It's not that you have the choice. It's okay. If you do it, it's good. If you do not do it, you are safe. You are not sinful. No. Your brother or your sister who is in this situation has a right on you to help him or her. كذلك لو كان إنسان إلا أن يكون للإنسان عذر في عدم إطعام الجائع أو كسوة العاري. أحيانا يكون له عذر، هو عنده ما يزيد عن حاجاته، لكن مثلا ماله غائب، أو هناك شيء يمنعه من الوصول إليه أو نحو ذلك. Of course, except for an excuse. Sometimes you have more than what you need for your basic needs, but you cannot reach the one who is in need to help him, or your money is away from you, you cannot reach it now to help this person, then you have an excuse in this case. We are not talking about the case when one is excused. كذلك إذا كان إنسان يغرق وكان شخص قادرا على إنقاذه لا يجوز له أن يتركه للغرق. Likewise, if someone is drowning and another person can help this person, it's not permissible for him to neglect helping him until this person drowns. وهنا ألفت انتباهكم إلى أمر. Let me draw your attention here to something. If you cannot ignore someone who does not have, who is hungry, you have to help him to fulfill his hunger if he's in need, a needy person, as we described. Then how about the person who is misguided, because the harm caused by misguidance is more severe of the harm of hunger, isn't it? So what would be the judgment of neglecting helping, spreading guidance, and facing misguidance? It is an obligation, And if one neglects fulfilling that obligation, one would be sinful. إذا كان هذا حكم إطعام الجائع ليس لك أن تهمل إطعامه. إيش يكون حكم المساعدة في رد الضال إلى الهداية؟ يعني الأمور التي تساعد على نشر الدعوة بين الناس، الأمور التي لا بد منها لنشر الخير، على حسب الحال، الأمور التي لا بد منها للأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر، هذه لا يسع الشخص أن يترك الإعانة فيها، لأن خطر الضلال أكبر من خطر الجوع أو العري. أقصى ما يحصل للشخص إذا جاع أو عري التأذي في البدن، أما في مسائل الضلال فالتأذي في الدين يكون. If someone is hungry or if someone is hungry or does not have enough clothes, the worst thing that will happen that he is going to be inflicted in his body, isn't it? But in the case of misguidance, it's one's religious state which is inflicted. So you cannot watch from far away in these issues. قال المؤلف وكتابة ما يحرم النطق به. The author said to write what is prohibited to say. كل شيء يحرم النطق به لا يجوز للشخص أن يكتبه. Everything that it is that is prohibited to say, one is not allowed to write it. مثلا أنت ليس لك أن تسب مسلما، أي ليس لك أن تكتب له رسالة تسبه فيها. For example, you are not allowed to curse a Muslim. Likewise, you are not allowed to write him a letter cursing him in that letter. ما يحرم نطق به يحرم كتابته. What is prohibited to say is prohibited to be written, to write it. الكفر لا يجوز التلفظ به ولا يجوز كتابته. Just as it is not permissible to utter blasphemy, it is not permissible to write it. بعض العلماء قال القلم هو اللسان الثاني فيجب صونه عما يصان اللسان منه. Some scholars said the pen is like a second tongue. Whatever you have to protect your tongue from it, you need to protect your pen from it. قال المؤلف والخيانة وهي ضد النصيحة فتشمل الأفعال والأقوال والأحوال. The author said to betray, which is opposite to sincere advice, and this includes deeds, sayings and conditions. معناه أن الإنسان قد يخون بكلام وقد يخون بفعل يفعله أو بحال يتلبس به. This means that one might betray by saying things, by doing things, or by attributing to oneself a certain state إذا استأمنك إنسان على مبلغ من المال لا يجوز لك أن تأكله، إذا أكلته فقد خنت الأمانة. If someone safe keeps with you a certain amount of money, it is not permissible for you to spend it. If you do that, then you are betraying this person. هذا واضح. This is very clear. وبالمناسبة إذا استأمنك إنسان على مال لابد أن تحفظه في حفظ المثل. By the way, let me draw your attention. If someone gives you something to safe keep it, you need to keep it in the place where such thing is kept usually. يعني for example, if he gives you a certain amount of money, so you safe keep it for him, you don't put it in your jacket and then you put the jacket wherever, here, and then you go to make wudu, for example. You don't know what will happen. This is not safe keeping the money. You put it in a place and you lock the place where you put it. And other things, يعني, you need to observe that. فلو أعطاك إنسان مالا وقال لك مثلا تبرع به في الجمعية لكذا ونحو ذلك، ليس لك أن تترك هذا المال أياما معك غير محفوظ في حفظ المثل. So if someone gives you some money and tells you, take this money and give it as a donation to such association, you cannot keep it in your pocket wherever several days until you pay it. You need to keep it in the place where such money is kept usually. جاء في الحديث لا إيمان لمن لا أمانة له. It was narrated in the hadith that the Prophet said لا إيمان لمن لا أمانة له، يعني إيمانه ليس كاملا، which means the one who is not who does not avoid betraying has not a complete belief. His belief is not a complete one. One time a person gave Sheikh Abdullah something as a safekeeping, to safekeep it. So Sheikh Abdullah put it in his room, I don't know where. And then he wanted to leave out the room and go out in his house to another place to give a class. So he's still in the same house. He called someone and told him, you stay in the room, you don't leave it. That is to keep his eye on this thing. For a reason, I don't remember why, that person left the room for a short time. Then Sheikh Abdullah knew about it. He advised him that person cried severely out of his advice. And among what he told him was this hadith, لا إيمان لمن لا أمانة له, which means the one who does not avoid betraying, his belief is not a complete one. So this is not a light issue. لكن الأمانة أنواع، يعني الأمانة ليست في المال فقط، الخيانة لا تكون في المال فقط. Betraying does not take place only in financial issues. إذا طلب منك إنسان النصيحة فلم تنصحه على الوجه بل غششته تكون خنته. If someone asks your advice and you do not give him the proper advice, rather you give him the wrong advice on purpose, then you would be betraying this person. If someone, إذا سألك إنسان ما رأيك بفلانة أريد الزواج منها، إن غششته تكون خنته. إن كنت تعرف أنها تفسد من يتزوجها ثم غششته تكون خنته. If someone asks you, what do you think I'm thinking to marry to this woman? What do you think about that? Give me your advice. If you give him the wrong advice on purpose, if you know, for example, that this woman takes astray the one who marries to her, and you do not give him the proper advice, rather you tell him, oh, this is, it's okay, go ahead, do it, then you would be betraying this person. إذا سألك أهل بنت فلان تقدم للزواج من بنتنا ما رأيك وأنت تعرف منه الفساد، لا يسعك أن تغشهم. If the parents of a female ask you, what do you think about so and so? He wants to marry our daughter. Is he a good person? And you know he's a bad person. He's going to affect her in a bad way. It is not permissible for you to betray them. Some people think, okay, I do not want to have any problems with this person, so I will tell them, it's okay, go for it. I do not know anything bad about him, for example. By saying that, he is betraying these people. One needs to observe the religious rules. That's before thinking about pleasing this person or displeasing that person. أحيانا الشخص يظهر أنه أهل لشيء وهو ليس أهلا له. هذا غش وخيانة. أهل لوظيفة وهو ليس أهلا لها. أهل ليشتغل في هذه الوظيفة ليعمل ليؤدي هذا العمل وهو ليس أهلا له. أهل ليؤم في المسجد وهو ليس أهلا لذلك. أهل ليدرس وهو ليس أهلا لذلك. هذا كله من الخيانة. Sometimes one shows he pretends to have a certain status while one does not have that status, to trick others. Like if someone pretends that he is qualified for a certain job while he knows about himself that he is not qualified for this job. To get the job, he pretends to be qualified to it. He acts in a way to trick the people to think that he is qualified for it while he knows of himself that he is not qualified. In this case, he would be betraying them. If someone acts in a way to trick the people to think that he is qualified to lead the prayers while he is not qualified to do that, he knows about himself that he is not qualified, he would be betraying them. If someone acts in a way to make the people think that he is a pious person, so they would give him gifts or give him a certain position, or the, while he knows of himself that he is not like that, that he cannot fulfill the position given to him, or the like, he would be betraying them, and so on. So betraying has different aspects. It's not only in money. It's not only, it does not take place only in reference to money. Allah ya'asimuna min thalik. Subhanallah. قال بهذا نكون أنهينا الكلام عن معاصي اليدين. نبدأ الكلام عن معاصي الفرج. By this we end talking about the sins of the hands and we start talking about the sins of the private parts. هل هناك شيء ما فهمه أحد بالنسبة لما قلناه؟ Is there anything that is not understood about what I said? Not further details, just something which is not understood. طيب. نعم. What? We'll talk later about this, inshallah. We will get to that. طيب. قال المؤلف رحمه الله ومن معاصي الفرج الزنا واللواط. The author said, among the sins of the private parts are to commit adultery or fornication. That is to insert the glans penis into the vagina. Unlawfully, of course. من معاصي الفرج التي هي من الكبائر الزنا. الله تعالى قال إنه كان فاحشة وساء سبيلا. Among the enormous sins is to commit الزنا, adultery or fornication. In Surah Al-Isra, Allah mentioned that committing az-zina is among the enormous sins. ومعنى الزنا إدخال الحشفة في الفرج. يعني المحرم. في غير فرج زوجته أو أمته. The meaning of az-zina is to insert the glans penis into the vagina. الحشفة هي ذلك القدر الذي يظهر بالختان. يكون مستترا بالجلد ويظهر بالختان. The glans penis is that part that would be that appears when one is circumcised. فيكفي إدخال هذا القدر لحصول الزنا. It is enough for to insert just this part unlawfully in the vagina for az-zina to take place. إذا حصل ذلك وقع الشخص في ذنب الزنا واستحق العقاب المذكور في الشرع على ذلك. If one does that, then he would be committing the enormous sin of zina, and he deserves the punishment contingent upon that. وَمِنَ الْمُحَرَّمِ اللِّوَاطِ أَيْضًا. Also, وَاللِّوَاطِ مَعْنَاهُ إِدْخَالُ الْحَشَفَ فِي الدُّبُرِ دُبُرِ امْرَأَةٍ أَوْ رَجُلٍ. Also, it is prohibited to insert this part, the glans penis, in the anus, whether it is the anus of a male or a female. وأيضا هو من كبائر الذنوب. Also, it is an enormous sin. It is also an enormous sin. هذا إذا كان الدبر غير دبر الحليلة. أما في دبر الحليلة فهو حرام، لكن الذنب أخف من دبر غيرها. We are talking here about the anus of other than one's wife or the like. If one does that with one's wife, it is haram, prohibited, but it does not the severity of the sin does not reach the level of doing that with someone else. But in both cases, it is haram. وفي قانون الشرع إذا كان الزاني غير محصن يحد 100 ويغرب عاما، ينفى عاما من البلد إن كان حرا، وإن كان عبدا فعلى النصف من ذلك. In the religious rules, if the one who commits a zina is a free person, one deserves to be punished by 100 lashes and exiled, put in exile for a year. That is, they put him out of the place, the town in which he committed az-zina for a year. If the person who commits az-zina is a slave person, then his punishment is half of that, 50 lashes and half a year. That is, if the person, this would be the punishment, if the person who committed az-zina, who commits az-zina, is not muhsan. We'll explain what that means. فَإِذَنْ غَيْرُ الْمُحْصَنِ قُلْنَا حَدُّهُ 100 وَتَغْرِيبُ سَنَة أَوْ عَلَى النِّصْفِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ عَلَى حَسَبِ حَالِهِ. المحصن معناه الذي جامع في نكاح قبل ذلك في نكاح صحيح. هذا هو المحصن. So when we talk about محصن, what does that mean? It means the one who had previous, before committing az-zina, a sexual intercourse within a valid marriage. So if someone was married and while married had sexual intercourse with his wife, even for once, if after that this person commits a zina, then this person would be called muhsan. His punishment differs than the punishment that we mentioned previously. So the punishment that we mentioned previously pertains to the one who is not muhsan, who did not have a sexual intercourse in a valid marriage contract. أما المحصن فحده رجمه بالحجارة المعتدلة حتى يموت إن كان حرا. إذا كان حرا هذا حده. أما العبد فلا رجم عليه. العبد المحصن مثل العبد الذي هو غير محصن عقوبته. Now if the person, male or female, is muhsan, that is, if such person had before, even once, sexual intercourse in a valid marriage, and after that this person commits a zina, whether he is still married or not, but he had before a sexual intercourse in marriage, in a valid marriage, and after that he commits a zina, his punishment would be to be stoned until death. If he is a free person, if he is a slave, he would not be punished by being stoned. Whether he had sexual intercourse before that in a marriage or not, in all cases, the punishment of the slave is always 50 lashes and half a year of exile. وهنا أنبه أيضا إلى أن مثل هذه العقوبة إنما تنفذ من قبل الحاكم, ليس كل واحد ينفذها. And here let me draw your attention that in the rules of the religion, this is not a punishment that everyone can carry out. This is the job of the ruler to do that. If I know, for example, about someone who commits a zina, it's not permissible for me to bring this person and then carry out lashing him or the like. This is not permissible. This is something that the ruler does. وأما اللواط فيختلف الحكم فيه بين الفاعل والمفعول به. As for sodomy, the punishment differs depending upon the situation of the one who does it. Is he the one? Is he the sodomizer or the sodomized person? The punishment differs. اللائط الفاعل حده كحد الزنا. The sodomizer, the same punishment of a zina applies to the sodomizer. So either he is muhsan or not, etc. The same rules apply. أما الملوط به فعلى فجلد مئة وتغريب عام. As for the one إن كان حرا. As for the sodomized person, his punishment is 100 lashes and a year of exile if he is free. إن كان عبدا على النصف من ذلك. If he is a slave person, then 50 lashes and half of a year of exile. Always. For the sodomized person, always this is the punishment. in all the cases. المالوط به في كل الأحوال هذا حده إن كان محصنا أو غير محصن. أما اللائط يفصل فيه بين أن يكون محصنا وغير محصن. So always the sodomized person, this is his punishment. As for the sodomizer, this is when his situation is checked, whether he had before that sexual intercourse in a valid marriage or not. You wanted to ask something? No, any woman. Whether he is still married or not, with his ex-wife or with any woman. No, his punishment would be to be stoned. يلا لحظة. ولا يثبت الزنا إلا ببينة مفصلة. It is not the judge. Now this is something that we are not facing it usually, but we are going to mention it anyway. For the judge, the act of az-zina is not confirmed. He does not treat the person as someone who committed az-zina, except if four people witness that they saw the actual act of sexual intercourse. Four upright, trustworthy Muslims, etc. لا يثبت الزنا عند القاضي إلا ببينة مفصلة. شو يعني بينة مفصلة؟ يعني يقول الشهود أنهم رأوا عين الزنا، رأوا دخول الحشفة في الفرج. ولا بد أن يكونوا أربعة، إذ لا يكفي اثنان في بينة الزنا. So actually they have to witness that they saw the penis entering the vagina. And they need to be four. Two is not enough. Look, okay, flaken. لابد أن يكونوا عدولا إلى آخره. They have to be trustworthy, upright people also. مرة في زمن سيدنا عمر أناس كانوا أربعة، كانوا في مكان وهناك مكان آخر مواجه لهم كان عليه ستر ستارة، الريح حركت الستارة انكشفت، فرأوا واحدا يزني بامرأة، فذهبوا إلى سيدنا عمر فشهدوا عنده وكانوا عدولا الأربعة أنهم رأوا فلانا يزني بفلانة. ثلاثة منهم قالوا نشهد أننا رأينا فلانا يزني. واحد قال عند الشهادة أمام سيدنا عمر حصل له تردد، ما عاد جازما أنه فلان. قال كأنه فلان لكن لا أجزم. عمر قال للثلاثة البقية ترجعون عن شهادتكم، تراجعوا عن شهادتكم، وإلا فأنتم تتهمونه بالزنا من غير بينة، من غير دليل، ما عندكم 4 شهود. تراجعوا عن كلامكم، وإلا يقام عليكم حد القذف. 2 تراجعا، 3 قال أنا لا أتراجع، أنا رأيت فلانا فجلده عمر حد القذف. لا بد من 4 شهود عدول، لا يكفي 3 ولا 2. At the time of our master Umar, 4 upright trustworthy people were in a place, and faced to them there was another shelter or the like, and it had a curtain at a window, I think. I don't remember well now. Either a window or a door. The wind moved that curtain, so they saw a man, which they knew, committing a zina. They saw the actual act. So they went to the caliph, to Umar, and they told him, we saw so and so committing a zina, the actual zina. 3 of them, they were certain about it. The 4th, when he wanted to testify, he said as if it was so and so, I am not sure. So because he said I am not sure that the person was so and so, the man was so and so, Umar told the other 3, take back your testimony, otherwise you are accusing the man by committing a zina without having 4 trustworthy upright witnesses that would testify for that. 2 among them took back their testimony. 1 refused. He said, I know what I saw. He could just say, I take back my testimony. He refused to say it. He said, I know what I saw. I will not take it back. Yani, sometimes it's not easy for one, because some people are going to talk about him also. He accused this person, then he took his... So he did not take it back. Umar punished him. The punishment of Al-Qazif that we mentioned. Because he accused a person with a zina without having 4 trustworthy witness who testified for that. So for a zina to be confirmed about someone to the judge, there has to be 4 trustworthy witnesses. أو أن يعترف الزاني. Or for the one who commits a zina to admit that. If he or she admits, then there is no need for the witnesses. طيب نقف هنا الآن. Let us stop here for now. إن كان لأحد سؤال فليتفضل. أين بلى والذي يعني ما بلا ما نفوت فيها ما عاد نفوت خلاص. That's it. If you have any questions, go ahead brother, go ahead. Okay.
Can you just explain or
What do you want to know?
What is the difference between that person and the person who is stoned?
The one who gets the lashes and the exile is the one who did not have a previous sexual intercourse in a valid marriage contract. If such a person commits a zina, this would be his punishment. For example, he never married, or he married a woman and he did not have sexual intercourse with her, then he divorced her, or he did not divorce her still, but he did not have at all sexual intercourse with her. You're welcome.
Can one accuse her of fornication?
If she... There are details pertaining to this.
The issue of Anuel, the sodomy, I've seen people say that one of the punishments is to throw the one who does the act off of a high...
This is not the reliable saying. The reliable saying is what I said. What happens? If he commits a zina and then he says?
So he confesses that he did it, and then what happens? The partner?
Oh yeah, okay. Then the one who confesses would be punished, the other one would not. زينة وكان جامعها قبل ذلك في نكاح صحيح. نعم يقام عليه حد المحصن. تفضل. ليس له لا ولم يعرف صاحب الحق لا يعرف أن يخبره يقول له أنا شهدت. بعد ذلك صاحب الحق إما أن يقول له اشهد أو يقول له يقول لصاحب الحق أنا عندي شهادة على ما تقول. تفضل. If someone nowadays commits a zina because in most of the countries they do not apply the rules of a sharia pertaining to the punishments, maybe in all the countries, even in Saudi Arabia, where they claim that they apply the religion, the rules of Sharia, they apply their own rules, really, not the rules of Sharia. Sometimes they do very some savage and weird things, but. Nowadays, we are not rulers, so what you can do is to advise the person who does that to leave out doing it, try to work on the social level, etc., to prevent this from happening. This is how you can do it. This is what we can do. نعم، لكن في تفصيل بالنسبة للمرأة، يعني يرسل معها محرم بتفصيل، ذكروا تفصيلا في ذلك. Go ahead. The four witnesses has to be male, have to be males. Yes. Yeah. Intentionally, if this is done intentionally. Well, still it is haram because this hurts him. I have a question here. If a sister is married, her children are not her husband's, how should she pay the children's zakah? Well, if they are little children and they do not have money, they do not own money, they did not inherit or the like, then the father pays a zakah on their behalf. He is the one who has to support them, whether they are still married or he divorced her. He is the one who has to support them. So he is the one who pays zakah on their behalf. Zakatul Fitr, that is, on their behalf. Yeah. Her husband is not obligated to pay zakah on behalf of her children, her husband. He can do it, but he is not obligated. He can tell her, the father of the children, I will pay instead of you on their behalf, zakat. He can do it, but he is not obligated. What is the judgment when... I'll answer it later. As zina, the definition of zina is what we said, just that. Anything else is not zina. Yes, Al-Imam Ali did a valid ijtihad to do what he did with those who worshipped him. That is an exception. His ijtihad was a valid one. If one has... What's this? If has a habit to tell his children to set a good example for the people, should he stop this practice out of fear of a riya? Well, a good example entails not to do the good act for the sake of people, but sometimes the children might not understand such statement. Don't direct their attention to what the people would say if they do this or that. Just direct their attention to do what's good and avoid what's bad. Always talk like this with them, because they might misunderstand. If you say to set a good example, they might misunderstand the words and seek the praise of the people. And later it becomes hard to take that out of the... it becomes hard for that to go out of their hearts. Yep. If the father of the children, if a woman has children, the father of the children is not a Muslim. So she was married to a non-Muslim, she was non-Muslim, they were married, they had children. And then later, she embraces al-Islam. Then if he wants, because she cannot force him to do that, if he wants, he can give her money to pay zakat al-fitr on behalf of the children. But she cannot force him to do that, obviously. Yani. Is killing the harmful I will ask and give you back the answer, inshallah. In general, it is not permissible without an excuse for one to contaminate himself or the clothes that he wears with najasa. That's the general rule. Without a valid excuse. That's the general rule. But is this an excuse or not? I will ask, inshallah. Tafaddal Abu Salah. كمان منو محصن. ثم الحد يطهره. If someone is punished by the ruler for a sin that is according to the rules of Sharia, then in the hereafter he is not going to be punished for this sin. So if someone commits a zina and he is lashed 100 lashes and put in exile for a year, in the hereafter, he is not going to be punished for this sin. So, تفضل وليد. قصدك هي بتشتكي بتحكي. بس إنه إذا أنكر شو بتعمل؟ حد القذف؟ فيها كلام نرجع له هيدي إن شاء الله ندخل فيها هلا. تفضل نور الدين. Il t'a dit qu'il a fait zina avec et après il a laissé ça ou non? Jusqu'à maintenant? Inshallah, après, yani après 10 minutes, Inshallah, on va parler de ça, Inshallah. Wafik. Shahid, some words, your voice is doing like that. So please, if you can, just go with a loud voice for all the question, from the beginning to the end. Like in a drawer with a lock, for example. Usually people keep money in them, don't they? Yeah, that's a usual place. Well, they might not keep big amounts. I don't think you are asking about big amounts. Just go ahead. Ask me tomorrow the question, please. Let me review and I'll give you the answer, inshallah, later. Tfaddal, Omar. Go ahead, go ahead. If they acknowledge that... So they are in the same area where you are. You go to them. You order them with al-ma'roof. Let's take this question. And what if a person had clothes and... If someone wears clothes and those clothes, yani, they are okay. I mean by okay, yani, they do not cause for problems for this person. People are not going to criticize this person, people who are close to this person, for these clothes, etc. But you don't like them. You prefer something else. You don't need to say this. Oh, these are ugly clothes, for example. You don't need to say that. Just you tell this person, yeah, they are okay, etc. Don't use words that might harm the person. You can manage with that. You can manage. If you think that such clothes are going to give him hard time with others, they are going to talk about this person in a harmful way, you tell this person, why don't you try something else, so you wouldn't be facing such situation, so you wouldn't be criticized by many people for this, etc. That's how you do it. In a gentle way. إذا فعل الإنسان المعصية في الدنيا وتاب منها تمحى عنه حتى الأفضل للزاني أن لا يقر على نفسه بالزنا بل يتوب. If someone commits a sin, then one repents, then he is not going to be punished in the hereafter for that. And regarding zina and similar sins that do not entail rights of other people, it is better for the person not to confess about that. It is better not to say that he or she committed this sin, rather to repent and that's it, without confessing about that. ما يعني بيقولوا نحن كذبنا؟ بيتراجعوا عن ما بنشهد على هالشغلة بقى، هذا هو، لا نشهد على ذلك، هذا هو. إذا كان يفسد ويؤذي الذي يتزوج به أو لا يقوم، إن كان رجلا ما عنده قدرة أن يقوم بكفاية المرأة، مثل هذا يذكر. إذا كان يؤذي يا أم بلال، أما مجرد أن يكون الإنسان فيه حدة من غير إيذاء، لا بالكلام ولا باليد، لماذا يذكر عنه؟ لا ما بيزيد، لا يزيد. بارك الله فيكم. خلونا نهلل. لا إله إلا الله، لا إله إلا الله، لا إله إلا الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. بارك الله.